Reading from the book of Genesis. When Abram prostrated himself, God spoke to him, "My covenant with you is this. You are to become the father of a host of nations. No longer shall you be called Abram. Your name shall be Abraham. For I am making you the father of a host of nations. I will render you exceedingly fertile. I will make nations of you. Kings shall stem from you. I will maintain my covenant with you and your descendants after you, throughout the ages as an everlasting pact, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land in which you are now staying, the whole land of Canaan, as a permanent possession, and I will be their God." God also said to Abraham, "On your part, you and your descendants after you must keep my covenant throughout the ages." Verbum Domini. The Lord remembers his covenant forever. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek to serve him constantly. Recall the wondrous deeds that he has wrought, his portents and the judgments he has uttered. You descendants of Abraham, his servants, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he, the Lord, is our God. Throughout the earth, his judgments prevail. The Lord. He remembers forever his covenant, which he made binding for 1,000 generations, which he entered into with Abraham and by his oath to Isaac.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritus tuum.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to the Jews, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death." So the Jews said to him, "Now we are sure that you are possessed. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, 'Whoever keeps my word will never taste death.' Are you greater than our father Abraham who died, or the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is worth nothing. But it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, 'He is our God.' You do not know him, but I know him. And if I should say that I do not know him, I would be like you, a liar. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid and went out of the temple area.
Verbum Domini.
The Lord remembers his covenant forever. This refrain from today's responsorial psalm has much more significance than we might realize on the surface. If you really think about it, the Lord remembering his covenant can serve as the overall theme of sacred scripture that connects both the Old and the New Testaments. As we read through the sacred text, we come to realize God's undying fidelity to fulfilling his covenantal promises, even as his people prove themselves to be unfaithful, time and again. His fidelity is a lesson to us that finding the fullness of eternal life and endless peace is only possible by listening to his word and acting on it. As Catholics, we are blessed with the privilege of belonging to and participating in a universal church, in which all of us are united to the Lord through the sacraments and thus become members of his mystical body. God's work of building his church does not begin with the coming of Christ, but rather begins in the Old Testament, as God establishes covenants with his people, especially with the nation of Israel, his chosen people. And this covenant was then taken up by Christ and transformed into the new and everlasting covenant. And the work of redemption continues to this day to proceed toward its completion unto the end of the age. In the first reading from Genesis today, we hear how God had chosen Abraham, established a covenant with him, and promised to make him the father of a host of nations. Earlier in Genesis, God had said to Abraham that all the families of the earth would find blessing in him. Now, why does God choose Abraham when he could have chosen any other person on the face of the earth? After all, Abraham was not perfect, nor was he completely without sin. In fact, there are several occasions in Genesis when Abraham makes poor decisions, such as lying about his wife's identity while they are in Egypt and having relations with a concubine because he struggled to fully trust in the Lord's power to grant him an heir in his old age. And while it is true that we cannot fully perceive the mind of God or understand his plans with perfect clarity, the book of Nehemiah gives us a reason as to why God chose Abraham. In chapter 9 of Nehemiah, it says, "You are the Lord, the God who chose Abram and brought him out of the Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name Abraham. And you found his heart faithful before you and made with him the covenant." While man tends to consider only the external appearances, God looks into the heart, into a person's heart. God can peer into the heart of a man such as Abraham and see someone who is willing to listen and to obey God's word, even though he is not perfect. Abraham may have had his faults, but he proves himself docile to God's commands. And God tests Abraham's faith by commanding him to offer his own son Isaac as a sacrifice, not so that God might confirm his fidelity for his own sake, as if God needed some sort of knowledge, you know, from what Abraham would do, but so that Abraham's faithfulness might be manifested for our benefit. God already sees Abraham's heart, and so he allows Abraham's virtue to shine forth for others to see and to draw inspiration. And it is due to Abraham's faith that God establishes a covenant with him. God promises Abraham that he will become the father of many nations, and in return, God commands Abraham and his descendants to keep his covenant throughout the ages. In the Gospel of John today, as Jesus engages with the Jews of his day, it appears that the people may have forgotten an important aspect of God's covenant with Abraham. Some of the Jews seem to think that they can simply appeal to their natural relationship with Abraham, their father, and that that is sufficient to claim to be beneficiaries of the covenantal promises made to Abraham. And they take their physical descent from Abraham for granted and claim Abraham as their father, even though their actions and their evil designs to put Jesus to death show that their hearts are really far from their father in faith. Their thinking with respect to the covenant is on a mere natural level, and they seem to forget that God had made the covenant with Abraham because of his faith in the first place. Abraham had placed his faith and trust in the Lord God and was obedient to his commands, even to the point of nearly sacrificing his own son. And thus, being a physical descendant of Abraham is not as essential as being a spiritual descendant. The true children of Abraham are not those who come from the patriarch's lineage, but those who have faith and who listen to the word of God. As Jesus says to the Jews, whoever keeps his word will never see death. There are those who claim to have Abraham as their father, yet their hearts are far from their father. They do not behave towards Jesus as their father would. Abraham rejoiced to see the day of the Messiah, yet the descendants of Abraham wish to put Jesus to death. And since they do not abide in the truth, then they do not keep God's word. As John the Baptist says during his public ministry, God can raise up children to Abraham from the stones. Jesus points out that tax collectors and prostitutes, those who are looked upon as great sinners and social outcasts, are entering the kingdom of heaven before the children of Abraham. The tax collectors and prostitutes behave more like their father Abraham than those who claim Abraham as their father, because they have listened to the word of Jesus and believed in him. And those who have faith and who abide in the word of the Lord are thus the true children of Abraham and are beneficiaries of the blessings of the covenant. Now, sometimes we Christians might take our baptism and our belonging to the universal church for granted. Perhaps we might regard ourselves as superior to those who are not currently baptized, and we look down upon them. We might behave as if our association with the church is sufficient to be saved and to enter the kingdom of heaven. Yet the teaching of Jesus clearly shows that it is not sufficient to merely be associated with the church to be saved. We must not only believe in the word of the Lord, but also actively keep his word. We must abide in his word. As Jesus carries out the will of his Father through works of charity and mercy, so we are called to do likewise. If we are truly meant to be members of the church, then we are called to live according to the teaching of the gospel. You know, we cannot simply call ourselves Catholics or be nominal Catholics while at the same time allowing sin, anger, hatred, bitterness, bigotry, resentment, envy, lust, greed, and pride to remain in our hearts. Otherwise, can we truly say that we are listening to the word of God? We have full assurance that God is faithful to his word and to his covenantal promises. And thus, we are called to be faithful to God in return, to turn away from sin and to turn to him with our whole hearts, to serve him and our neighbor through works of charity.